Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. This is show number 476, and I'm your host, Janet McIntosh. Miss Ems, are you there? All right, I guess we're having some technical difficulties.
Do you hear me?
Are you there, Mama? Yes, I hear you.
I'm talking to myself.
Don't you hate that when it doesn't work right and all of a sudden you're like, hello, hello?
It's a good thing Matthew just walked in, too, and I yelled at him just in time. Okay, so anyway, we will get this going. I'm your co-host, Emily Grace. Today is Monday, June 16, 2014, or if you're in Korea, it's Tuesday morning, and I'm exhausted. Glad you're sitting
here. You're in the future.
Right? I'm in the future. It's Tuesday here. Go back to bed.
Well, we are sure glad that you guys are out there hanging out with us tonight. And as always, you know there's always a party going on here at Army Wife Network. So if you're listening to our show live right now, we want you to head on over to Twitter and join us in our Twitter party chat. It's a fun, easy way to follow our chat. Or if you want it even easier, you can actually use Tweet Chat. So to tune in, you go to blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. And then in a separate window, you can open tweetchat.com/room/ArmyWife. Or you can let Tweet Chat come up, just type in #ArmyWife. That'll do the same thing. Besides the awesome chat and the great guests, we have giveaways that you will only catch in our Twitter party, so you won't want to miss out. You can also, of course, follow along using Twitter like you normally do, twitter.com/ArmyWife Network. Any way you want to do it, just make sure you're using the #ArmyWife to participate with us.
Tonight's show is brought to you by the AWN Core Team. If you're a fan of Facebook or follower on Twitter, you know we've added two new team members recently. Woohoo! Get to know them on our personnel page at armywifenetwork.com. You can follow all of us on Twitter at Army Wife Network, as Paula says, one wife, Army Wife Network, and you can find our individual Twitter handles on our page.
Yes, we definitely want to give a big welcome to Miss Jennifer and Chelsea, who are our newest team members to come onto the team. So welcome, ladies, and I see Jennifer in our tweet chat. I think Chelsea has the night off tonight, so but be sure to catch her around next week. Tonight on AWTR, guys, we have a phenomenal show for you. We have one of our favorite guests, Kevin, and I hope I'm saying this right, Emily. Is it Beagle?
I hope so.
We love having Kevin on, though. He is the creator, the writer, and the executive producer of Fox's series Enlisted. If you'd like to follow along, follow Kevin, you can follow him at Enlisted on Fox, or you can follow him at K and then Beagle, which is B-I-E-G-E-L. And then we also have the Money Minute for you guys tonight. But, of course, before we get to all of that, we always like to catch up. So, Emily, why don't you fill us in on what's been going on in your Army Wife life?
Okay, so are you ready? I need to talk about my Friday night, okay?
That's right. I did. I saw the picture evidence of that.
Yeah, you saw the videos, too. It happened. Okay, so Wednesday night, I get a message from my friend's husband, and he's like, hey, it's you know, Morgan's birthday, and, you know, I want to do something with her girls. And my instant reaction was, no, I'm busy doing nothing, but I don't want to go. And I set the bar really low. I don't hang out with people. And I'm pretty open about the fact that I don't like hanging out because I don't want to get ready and put on clothes. So because I don't have a babysitter, and then I have to find one, and that's just complicated here. And so eventually I caved. I went without my husband, and the whole day Friday, I was just like, man, I don't want to go. I just want to stay home and read a book. And I ended up going anyway, and I met with my friend Morgan, her friends, and her husband at dinner. And while we were there, she was like, do you want to do karaoke? I'm like, no, not even a little bit. There's not even a smidge of me that wants to do that. And because I can't sing. I can't carry a tune. I mean, I sing anyway. Don't get me wrong. I sing anyway. But I can't carry a tune. And in Korea, karaoke is like a big thing here. Super serious, hardcore. It's called Noribang. And, like, the karaoke set up here is, like, in the States, it's a big old room and a stage in the front, and you're making a fool out of yourself in front of strangers. But here, you get your own little private room for you and your friends so you can look stupid only in front of your friends. So I was a little more comfortable, and so I went, and I sat in the back while everyone, you know, started singing. And then I started picking the music because I love music. And then, like three songs in, I'm up front singing "Believe" by Cher. Like, I was so horrible. It was pathetic.
But that's what's fun about karaoke. You don't have to sound great.
You don't have to, but you kind of in your head think you do.
But you kind of want to.
I mean, yeah, like, you think that you sound halfway decent in the shower. Like, I could totally be a singer. Like, "I Will Always Love You" by Whitney Houston, ruined. I heard how horrible.
Yeah, well, girl, I'm telling you what right now. I mean, I turn into my own version of Whitney Houston when I'm in the shower or the car, but I'm pretty cool about admitting that I'm pretty sure it sucked.
I mean, it wasn't cute, boo. I have the video evidence. I didn't realize that I was singing during my video evidence, so I played it back when I got home. I was like, oh, man. Like, everybody just heard me singing.
You're like, caught.
And this is what, like, my husband has to hear. Because I'd love to sing along to the radio. Like, I don't know if when I was driving the Swagger Wagon at Fort Knox if you heard me sing along to the radio, but it's not cute. I know it's not cute.
That's me too. My kids will tell me all the time. They're like, "Really, Mom?" And I'm like, "Yeah, really. It's happening." So
yeah.
I mean, they just know when we get in the car, Mom is singing. So
exactly, get your mind right. Exactly. But like I took the train home at like midnight, which is way late for me. Like, I am in pajamas by 6 o'clock. So midnight just blew my mind. The next morning, Janet, you would have thought that I ran a marathon screaming the whole way. My entire body hurt. My throat was killing me. Everything just hurt. I had like two like little glasses of wine. Like, I don't even drink. But I was a wreck the next day. Everything, my hair hurt. Everything hurt. Just like, I am never going out again. I can check that off of my non-existent Korea bucket list.
See, now that's what you should have caught video evidence of.
Oh, my God, please. I do not need any more video evidence of me being stupid.
Oh, God, we could have had some fun with that, though.
I haven't gone out, like, without my husband and my kid since Fort Knox. I like to read. I like to watch TV. That's my thing. Hanging out, not so much. So anyway, that was my Friday night.
So give us an update on when you're getting your booty back to America.
My booty and the rest of me is coming back in 26 days. We're going to go to Hawaii for 4 days so I could do nothing but turn browner. That's my entire goal for being friends. I am doing nothing but making my skin browner. It's just, I'm not doing anything. And we'll be there for 4 days, and then we're going to head to Fort Rucker, Alabama. Woohoo! And,
I hear you. No, I'm planning on, I said last week, too, that I'm planning on going back to Miami for a visit where I'm from, and that's the same exact thing that's on my agenda. Lazy, hanging out in the sun.
When are you going?
We're going in July. We're going to go in July because, as I've said before as well, I feel like my life is so boring compared to yours. I'm repeating myself week after week. I'm like, still preparing for a hardship tour. but he leaves in July, and so it's kind of nice that, because we'll go probably about a week after he leaves for Korea. He's leaving, you're coming back. But it's nice for the kids to get to do something, because I know those first few days will be hard, and so it's kind of nice to get to take them and do something to get their mind off of it and kind of, you know, cheer them up a little bit, because I know it'll be hard for them, so...
Yeah.
But I can't wait. Oh, my gosh. I miss home so much. Like, I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
That transition was awesome. I'm really going to miss my husband. And, yeah, he's really bummed about leaving. But, oh, my God, I'm going to Miami.
Oh, my God, I'm going to Miami. I can't help it. I never get to go home, like, not nearly as often as I would like to. And so I am excited. I mean, I guess – I don't know how to say this. I'm not your typical, like, it just feels like routine for me sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go into mode and I know what I have to do to prepare for him to, you know, to leave. And I guess because I keep telling myself it's just a year and, you know,
right.
I don't know. I'm handling it a little bit better. Call it, you know, 17 years of experience under your belt. You kind of get a little okay with it, not so bad, you know?
Right, and it's Korea. It's not Afghanistan.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it were a deployment, I think a lot of other factors kind of come into play. So, I mean, we're going to miss him. It's going to be weird not having him here and stuff, but I just kind of go into Army wife mode and, you know, this is the next step and this is what we got to do, and so we just do it.
Right. You just make it work. I mean, I feel like that's what we do, is we just make it work.
Well, and I think it's important, too, to be able – whether it's a hardship tour, whether it's a deployment, that, you know, you got to get excited about some things. You know what I'm saying? You got to hang on to the things that make you smile and keep you happy and keep you going through that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I completely agree. So are you still doing the PTA thing?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'm telling you, man, like, the President of the United States ain't got nothing on a PTA president, okay? I'm just saying.
Oh, I
oh, my gosh, that is, like, so much work. Like, I didn't realize going into it how much work it was going to be. But I do have I've done it. This is my second year in a row, and on our PTA board, you get to serve in your position for 2 years before somebody else has to do it. And so for me, it was last year was, like, the learning curve, and I didn't have, like, a lot of people that volunteered and stuff. But this year – I'm starting off with almost a full, complete board of volunteers, and so things are off to a much better start this year. So, yeah,
nice.
I think it'll go a little bit smoother. So,
that's awesome. As when I was doing the Spouses Club President thing, finding volunteers was the biggest hurdle. Finding good volunteers was the biggest hurdle.
So yeah, it is. That's probably one of the hardest parts of that job, is just finding people to help so that you don't end up being the one doing it all the time, you know, doing everything all the time. So, and I kind of had to go into leader mode and be like, this is how it has to be this year. Like, Janet can't do everything. I'm like, I need some help. So, yeah, I kind of had to lay it down. So, you know me.
Yeah.
But, guys, it is time for us to head on over and find out what is going on this week on Army Wife Network. I know you guys can't wait, so I'm going to go ahead and take us there.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
All right, guys, so this week on Army Wife Network, one of our hot topics that was going on was that former President George H.W. Bush marked his 90th birthday with parachute jumping. I mean, how awesome is this? This guy is 90 years old, and he's still jumping out of planes. That's right. He celebrated his 90th birthday on Thursday by making a tandem parachute jump near his summer home in coastal Maine, delivering on a vow that he made 5 years ago, even though he can no longer use his legs. It is such an incredible story, guys. You'll definitely want to check it out. Most everybody says that this is just routine for Mr. For our former president, that he's always been very active and wanting to do the fun things in life. So we'll post that link in our tweet chat for you if you'd like to go take a look at it. It's definitely a fun story.
And hot on AWN this week is an article from La Quinta's Cheryl Indres. La Quinta knows travel. They also know what military families need when they hit the road. So check out this article under columns and then travel and leisure titled Free Travel Apps Help Save Time and Money for Great Travel Tips as You Plan Your Vacation or PCS this summer. You can find that link in our Twitter chat, hashtag ArmyWife.
Oh, I love La Quinta. They are so awesome.
Oh, my gosh, me too. I'm just saying. Since we have a dog now, I'm a fan.
Oh, yes, definitely pet-friendly. Pet-friendly, important to know.
Oh, yeah.
So going over to our social media, because we all know you guys can find Army Wife Network on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, Instagram. We are social media queens here. But today, something that was hot on our Facebook was obviously Emily, who does our amazing graphics. Another one of Emily's graphics seemed to catch our fans' attention. It was the one that featured our very own AWN co-founder, Tara Crooks, and her family upon her husband, Kevin's homecoming. And Miss Emily attached the phrase to it, "The greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother." Now that is absolute truth. And we'll post a link to that graphic in our Twitter party so you can see it too.
And last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you and your business have a military-related PSA? We limit one per show, and we ask for them 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. The Army just celebrated their 239th birthday. Celebrate this year with a free PDF copy of Happy Birthday, U.S. Army. The children's book tells the story of the Army's rich history and some of the people that have been part of it. MWR hopes you enjoy the story as you and your family are all part of the Army family. Visit the U.S. Army MWR at www.armymwr.com/army-birthday-book.astx to get your free download. You can find that link on our Twitter. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWN's new six, Paula, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
I'm just so happy my father had a chance to see his kids before he passed. I just want to say thank you.
When her father fell ill, the American Red Cross was able to help get Veronica's brother home from the Navy to speak to his father one last time. It's thanks to your donations that we can connect military families when they need it most. Please donate today at redcross.org.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Paula, giving you your need-to-know news. We may have pulled almost all of our troops out of Iraq, but we still have responsibilities there. In this Army Times story, news about how the administration is positioning troops in Baghdad as the situation there continues to heat up. As Islamic extremists near the suburbs surrounding Baghdad, the Pentagon has deployed about 100 troops, including both soldiers and Marines, to the U.S. Embassy there to bolster security and assist in the evacuation of some diplomatic personnel. Their arrival on Sunday marked the first operational deployment of U.S. troops to Iraq since the withdrawal of combat forces in December of 2011. Meanwhile, at least two U.S. warships have moved into the Persian Gulf, where they provide the commander-in-chief additional options to protect American citizens and interests in Iraq should he choose to use them, Pentagon spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby said Monday. The Obama administration is choosing between two high-risk and politically fraught options, putting U.S. boots on the ground and troops in harm's way inside Iraq for the first time in 2.5 years, or putting the U.S. embassy at risk of attack from extremists and facing criticism similar to those that followed the 2012 attack in the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, where 4 Americans, including the ambassador, were killed. And from Stars and Stripes for our members in Korea, the discussion of the creation of safety zones around U.S. installations there. The United States and South Korea are considering installing safety zones around American military installations in an effort to improve the security of residents who live in their vicinity. U.S. representatives introduced the idea last week in Seoul during a joint SOFA committee meeting, discussion on U.S. military operations, and the proposal could gain traction because of the increased scrutiny on the South Korea government safety measures in the wake of a ferry accident that killed hundreds of teenagers. South Korea's Yonhap News Agency reported that these buffer zones around U.S. Korea facilities would protect residents from possible accidents, including those at ammunition dumps, although the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the design of the zones had not yet been decided. A statement issued late last week by U.S. Forces Korea said the zones are of utmost importance. The unrestricted growth of civilian businesses and residential dwellings in close proximity to some of our military installations could potentially pose considerable safety concerns, the statement said. Do you keep a television on in the background while you're interacting with your young children? Do you even notice? From U.S. News and World Report, here's a story about why you might want to pay attention. Having the television on while you play with your toddler could hinder the child's language development, according to a new study. Researchers observed interaction between 49 parents and their toddlers aged 12, 24, and 36 months as they played together for an hour. During half of that time, a TV program with content for older children and adults was on in the background. The number of words and phrases, including the number of new words spoken by parents, was lower when the TV was on than when it was off, the study found. This suggests that the parents were paying attention to the TV even if their children weren't, the researchers said. The length of phrases spoken by parents was not affected by background TV. The findings are important because American children younger than 2 years are exposed to an average of 5.5 hours of background TV a day, according to the authors of the study published June 11th in the Journal of Children and Media. Our new results, along with past research findings, negative effects of background TV on young children's play and parent-child interaction, provide evidence that adult-directed TV content should be avoided for infants and toddlers whenever possible, said the study author in a journal news release. Those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network, Twitter feed, and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Paula, signing out.
Wounded warrior Dale Beatty is beginning the most important journey of his life.
Swift 1-2's en route with urgent ASAC. Now copy.
From the battlefield to home to some very good medicine, his family's love. they'll be staying together at a Fisher House. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Make a donation to Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Grace. Tonight we have back with us Kevin Beagles, creator, writer, executive producer of Boxes, Series, Enlisted, a heartfelt comedy about three brothers on a small Florida Army post and the group of misfits who surround them. Kevin joined us last fall to talk about the new series, and he's back to give us an update.
Kevin was also the co-creator, executive producer, and co-showrunner, along with Bill Lawrence, of Cougar Town, a Florida native. Woohoo! He has also written for Scrubs, South Park, Howard Stern, and the Farrelly Brothers. He got his start as a blogger for Ain't It Cool News. We are pleased and so super excited to have Kevin with us once again. Are you there, Kevin?
I'm here. Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. I always laugh when it goes from Enlisted to Cougar Town, because if people haven't seen Enlisted yet and they're thinking, well, I wonder if this guy made a decent Army show, then they hear Cougar Town and go, oh no.
Well, Kevin, I know you've been here before and you know how we normally do things. So if you'll just start off by giving our listeners who may not have heard you on our show before, if you'll tell them a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
I am currently calling from a porch swing that I just put up on the porch of my house. That's my favorite place in the universe, from Los Angeles, California. And, I'm the oldest of four kids. My dad was Army. So was my grandfather. So there's military in my family. And I wanted to do a show that was – I had written on Scrubs for years, and I kind of wanted to do a show that was sort of set in the military but had that kind of same approach to a very specific workplace that I had some emotional ties to, that kind of was funny, but then at the same time was serious at times, and that's what kind of where Enlisted came from.
Okay, so Kevin, for those that maybe still don't know about Enlisted, tell us what inspired you to create the show.
I'd been writing on Scrubs for years, and then I did Cougar Town, but I'd always wanted to do a show that was about this relationship I've got with my two younger brothers who live out here in Los Angeles with me. We all grew up in Florida together, but even though we're all adults and we've been through some really heavy, you know, life stuff, we're still kind of locked into that, you know, for lack of a better term, like teenage mentality, where we'll beat the heck out of each other, but then like tell each other we love each other, like at the drop of a hat. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to write a show that's about three brothers like that, but then at the same time I wanted to set something in the world of the military, because there just hadn't been a military show, a comedy, in something like 20 years. And I know people hadn't done it because I think they were a little nervous. They said, okay, you know, we got to treat this with kid gloves because we literally are a country at war. And my attitude was, well, I've got, you know, friends and family who do this job, and these are guys I know as brothers and sisters and grandfathers and fathers and friends, and they're some of the funniest, most interesting people I know. So instead of shying away from telling those stories, I thought instead we should turn it around and actually tell those stories as truthfully as we could, like, you know, in a comedy setting, but also try to get a little heavy sometimes especially to let the military community know that we were going to do it respectfully and not kind of poke fun. Instead, we're just going to do kind of a slice of life show about a workplace that to me just seems fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of went into Enlisted thinking a lot like MASH. And, I mean, MASH was done during a time of war as well. We were in the Vietnam War, and they also found a way to put comedy you know, kind of interject that into that show while dealing with some very serious issues at the same time. And I kind of feel like Enlisted is MASH for my generation, you know, for this generation of service members now, especially in the Army. But
that's
I know that when the show... Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. And that's kind of led me into our next question, which is I know at the beginning of the show, a lot of the military community may have come off as kind of weary of the show. I know during the pilot, a lot of people came out. Of course, we're you know, our community is the first to want to come out and point out all the errors, which I love that you guys kind of found a creative way to overcome that. But what does it feel like now that a lot of that community has actually started embracing the show?
It feels amazing. I'm laughing because weary is a very polite way of saying it. I think a lot of the military community saw the first trailers for the show, and they're like, this, without cursing too much, this looks like a pile of dog crap. Like, they're like, what is this show? And that, to be honest, that was the reaction that the actors and that Mike Royce, who was my part in the show, had when we first saw the trailers, because it kind of sold our show as this really wacky Police Academy style, you know, hijinks ensue thing, and that isn't really what we intended to do. Like, we wanted to be a comedy, but we were about a lot more. And then, I have to put it on my shoulders because my name's on the show. The pilot episode, there's just way too many mistakes. We got way too much wrong. We had consultants on the show, but the pilot was not squared away. The hair was too long, the blouses were open, no one's wearing covers. It was the kind of thing that now in retrospect I look at it and just go, oh, boy. So, of course, you know, when people in the military community saw it, they went, this is nuts. This is just yet another one of those shows that's just going to kind of poke fun at us. And I wanted to kind of take the bull by the horns and go, no, look, you know, we are the first people to say we screwed up, and I wanted to let everyone know we wanted to get it right. We hired the best consultants we could. We made a joke out of how much we screwed up on the first one and basically made a contest out of it and said, if you could point out all of our errors, we'd send you a challenge coin. And we got squared away right after that. I mean, as much as we could. And I think just that kind of openness is what really helped us in that community. And I think especially it was a huge thing for me from day one to embrace every single soldier's family, every single military spouse, every single soldier, veteran who wanted to talk to us about the show, even if the way of talking was like, this looks like shit, I was like, okay, well, let's talk about it. Like, I wanted to show them episodes and say, look, we'd get better. I think that to me was the most important thing. That to me, it was a trust that had to be earned, and it was of utmost importance. And now the fact that a large chunk of that community who's seen the show have embraced it, I can't tell you how that feels. It's unbelievable. It's the most flattering, wonderful thing in the world. It's been the most fulfilling thing of my career, and I think pretty much everybody on the show's career, to speak for everyone on the show. It's just amazing. It's amazing. You know, one of the guys from Ranger Up came to an event last weekend we had in Austin, and the guys at Ranger Up have been fans of the show, and they kind of see what our mission is and what we've been doing, and they even put a video out there talking about Enlisted, like, oh, we got to save this show. And he said that when he pulled up to the airport, a soldier drove by him and said, hey, Nick, wait, you know, way to support Enlisted, all right, man, and just drove off. That's incredible. So it's very flattering, and we just want to keep doing right by that community.
You're like my hero now. That was awesome.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
I actually, my husband and I would watch the show together, and my husband has no sense of humor. I don't even know how that happens, but not a whole lot makes him laugh. And we would watch it together, and I told him at the first episode, I'm like, we're going to sit down and we're going to watch this together. And he assumed that it would be like Army Wives, because he really hates Army Wives. Like, he was just not a fan. And yeah. I loved Army Wives because a lot of it was, we were poking fun at it, really. But I told him to sit down, we're going to watch this. And we did, and he actually laughed, which surprised me because the Army totally stole his smile. So it was a great way for us to just, you know, bond. And we totally poked fun at it. I mean, we nitpick over stuff that is anything Army related. I mean, have you seen the movie Dear John? That is a mess. That whole movie is a mess.
And like you're saying, and like me and Dan watch it together too, and thankfully, you know, I know some people it's not as easy for them to get over the little things that aren't you know, perfectly, you know, Army standard, correct and stuff. But we were doing the same thing. Like, we used it, we more, like, poked fun at it, or were like, oh, man, that would, like, never happen, you know? Like, it was more fun for us, you know what I'm saying? Because the writing on it was top-notch. I mean, the jokes are hilarious. Like, I laughed so much.
Right, and I think that
that's,
a lot of
that's
people
all the writers
forget that this is not a documentary. This isn't, like, based on someone's life. It's not that serious. And I think people
exactly.
seem to forget that for some reason.
Well, but the thing that's been very important for us is that even though I said from day one once we started shooting the series is that even though we're not a documentary, even though we're a comedy, I said this to everybody who got hired on the show. I said what you have to realize is that these uniforms everyone's wearing, these people are wearing, people live and die in these uniforms. We don't take this lightly. Like this hat, we have to get the look right. And there's going to be minor things that we screw up every once in a while just because we have to, just to tell a story. But we got to work as hard as we can to make this look right and squared away. Because if it's not, like sometimes I make the joke, like when I worked on Scrubs, like we had to get the medical stuff right. Like you'd never want to watch Scrubs and see a doctor like, you know, we need to do a full torso transplant, stat. You'd be like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Like, performing a tooth transplant, what is that? Like, they're just making medical terms up. And on this, to me, especially when I wanted one of them, and all the writers as well, and the actors as well. I mean, this is Jeff Stoltz, one of his biggest things is like, we got to do heavier stuff. And to me, that was music to my ears because, of course, we do. If we're going to do a story about PTS, if we're going to do a story about someone leaving somebody behind, the world has to be as right as we can get it, because otherwise it's just going to seem crass and it's going to seem fake. And I think, you know, again, it comes back to the whole respect thing. Like it's our job to earn the respect of the community we're portraying. And every second of the show, we were, you know, past the pilot, and even there's stuff in the pilot I will contend I'm trying to do that with. Like, we have to work towards that goal. And yes, it's a broad comedy for everybody in the world, but you know, there's certain people we want to get it right for, and if someone's of the mindset that, like, oh, there's three brothers on the same post, that could never happen, I can't watch the show, well, then I can't change your mind. Like, that's something that is in the DNA of the show. But if
right.
you can look past, like, something like that and kind of see where the emotional motivations are coming from, where these people are coming from, what they care about, and see that it's just pure and that they're using this institution as something to make their lives better, because they want to be part of something, because they need each other around. Like, they literally need each other to survive, and that's what the show is about. If they can see that that's where we're coming from, well, then I think hopefully they'll cut us a little bit of slack.
So, Kevin, what was it like to try to hold yourself to a higher standard to get things right?
It was actually, it would seem like it would be tough, and instead it was the opposite. It was freeing. I said to the consultants when we brought them on after the pilot, I said, kick our ass on this. Like, don't let us get away with stuff. Like, if there's a storyline that you just could never do, and it's totally impossible, you have to let us know. If a character isn't, like, you know, maneuvering or saluting right, like, right away we got to fix it. And just having that kind of safety net of, not just the consultants, but it was a huge thing for me to hire as many veterans as possible. So a lot of the people you see, the soldiers you see in the background of the show, actually are veterans. And, you know, some served a couple tours overseas, some didn't even go overseas, but a lot of them served, so they know what's right. And just getting their input continuously just kind of made it seem more real for us, and it made us feel more confident telling the stories we were telling, because it was coming from a place, I don't want to say a place of reality, because we are doing a comedy, but it felt like it was coming from a true place rather than this kind of frivolous thing where we're just kind of, you know, making stuff up as we go.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that says a lot, though, about the show right there, that you guys, I mean, yes, you fully came out and admitted that in the first one, you know, it was, like you said, tore up or whatnot, but you fixed it, and I think that that says something to the fact that you guys really wanted to honor, you know, the troops that wear that uniform, you know what I'm saying, and that you took the time to bring on people and to try and get it right. And like you said, I think obviously you're always going to come across those people who just have to nitpick it, you know what I'm saying, like down to the smallest detail. But I think that that says something that you guys went above and beyond to really, you know, pay homage, you know. And I also know that you guys hired veterans on the show, right?
Yes, we did. Yeah, that was a big – I mean, that's just like a – you know, I have a little tiny soapbox I keep in my pocket that I whip out every once in a while, and that's one of the things I'll whip out. Like, that to me is hugely important. I mean, in TV shows, basically, like, yes, they're, you know, you're creative and you're trying to make people laugh, but it is a business, basically. There's 200-something people working for this corporation called Enlisted, and my attitude was like, okay, I've grown up around people who served. Like, I know what kind of people they are. Those are the kind of people who should be working on this show. Not to mention the fact it's a show about the military, so of course they should. But it just felt like the right thing to do, and I was in this very fortunate position where, as the guy whose name is on it, I could say, all right, this is what we're going to go after. These are the kind of people we're going to hire, and it was wonderful. I mean, it was just so cool to feel like you were surrounded by people that knew the world that you were trying to portray. And, you know, if a guy says, hey, you know, I can't tell you how many times, like, a man or woman would pull me aside and say, you know, the way that, you know, Sergeant Hill is doing this. Like, when I was in, we would do things like this. And it would be great, because then Jeff and I would talk, or Parker and I would talk, or Angelique and I would talk, or Keith and I would talk. And we would try to incorporate that stuff into the show as much as possible.
Well, yeah, and who better to get firsthand experience from than from our veterans, like you're saying,
absolutely,
you know, that have kind of lived that and know what to look for. And
it was great. We worked with Wounded Warrior, and one of them came on the show kind of to work for us, and we ended up putting him in a bunch of scenes. So, and I think he's still serving, so he goes back. They call him Hollywood, like, to make fun of him when he shows up. But it's funny because he's probably in like half the episodes. Like, he'll walk by, or he's interacting with Sergeant Perez, and it's kind of cool that, you know. And again, it's just like another thing that just helps us get it right. And it, you know, it was a blessing. It was wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, Kevin, we do have to take a quick break. We don't want our listeners to forget that the AWN Core team has some fun discussion taking place in our Twitter party chat, and I know they have a giveaway coming up as well. So remember, twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork. We are using the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Kevin and talk a little bit more about the show Enlisted. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com.
Peak tornado season is in spring and early summer. This is a Defending Your Cash Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. And even though a large percentage of tornadoes occur in the Midwest and Deep South, the Federal Emergency Management Agency reports that every state is at some risk. Ramon Lopez, Executive Director for National Catastrophe Operations at USAA, says that even if tornadoes are rare where you live, a little forethought could help keep a twister from becoming a tragedy. Before bad weather comes, perform an insurance review to make sure you have adequate coverage. You should insure your home for the minimum estimated replacement cost recommended by your insurer. In tornado warning or watch conditions, make sure you and your family members know how to stay safe. Keep doors and windows closed, and head for your family's designated safe room, cellar, or basement. Flying debris and glass can cause injuries, so stay as far away from windows and doors as possible. This Defending Your Cash Minute is made possible by USAA. USAA offers a suite of financial services online at USAA.com.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Well, welcome back to our show, guys. We're here talking with Kevin Beagle, creator, writer, executive producer of Fox's series Enlisted. Before we went to break, we were talking about some of the fan reaction to Enlisted and some of the efforts that the show has made to honor those in the uniform by fixing some of the things that our community has kind of pointed out that were kind of messed up. I know that you talked about the contest that you held for finding your mistakes, Kevin. How did that go? Were there any surprises when you were conducting that contest? Anything that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, it actually was pretty great. It was one of those things where very right after the pilot, I thought we had to do something like that. And our studio, 20th Century Fox, said that I don't think they're used to people kind of making fun of them, like pointing out their own flaws, you know, like that. And I'm just a kind of a knucklehead, and so's Mike. We're just like, look, we're not going to take ourselves this seriously. It's a television show. Like, we got some stuff wrong. We should own up to it. Like, we can't be high and mighty about this. And Fox just didn't know what to make of it, so we just kind of did it on our own. Like, and Jeff Stultz is amazing. He was 100% behind it. It's crazy how good cameras are now. You could literally go to, like, Best Buy and get the camera you're going to use to take, like, a picture of your family on a beach and shoot a video that looks like broadcast quality. So we just went in the parking lot of Fox. And, like, in the background, you can't tell because no one knows, but, like, those are the New Girl writing offices behind Jeff. And just shot the video and put it online. And the amazing thing to us was just, and we did that right over by the Christmas break. And it was kind of great because there was nothing else really happening entertainment-wise in the news. And that, it became its own thing. We didn't try to promote it. We didn't try to send it to people. We just put it out there. And different blogs and military places picked it up. You know, Doctrine Man picked it up, and Ranger Up guys and Rhino Den picked it up, and Black Five did, there's a number of people I had contacted who had seen the initial trailers for the show and were like, ew, gross. And I would like personally write every one of them. Like Terminal Lance was one of them, and so I sent that. You know, he got that too, and it was nice how it kind of just got bigger, and it certainly didn't change people's minds, but it did make them go, okay, we may give this thing a chance because they're trying to get it right. And that's all we could ask at that point. It was so early on. It was just you know, allow us to show you that we're trying to get better. And it was great. You know, the only thing I wish we could have made more challenge coins, because we could only afford making I think we made like 2,000 of them, and we got like 10,000 answers. And the funniest thing was, like, some people, I think there was like 3 pages of official, like, kind of obviously glaring things to get wrong. And some people sent in, like, these 20-page screens of every single thing that was.
You got, like, reports in the mail?
Oh, it was crazy. I'm like, you guys, I mean, there's attention to detail, then there's attention to detail. I mean, come on. It's very impressive.
So, Kevin, how did social media aid in the push for the show to stay on the air?
It's been really, really crazy. Like I mentioned early on, I was just, maybe my wife thinks I'm crazy, but every single person I'd see on Twitter who said, oh, this show looks terrible, I would follow them and I'd DM them and say, hi, my name's Kevin, I created the show. I can't control the trailers, but I promise you that's not what the show is. I got secure links to a couple episodes, early episodes, and I'd send these random people I'd never met episodes. I probably did that for, I'm not even kidding, probably 250, 300 people. Like, it was just not, and everyone from 50-something-year-old veterans to senators to some 16-year or 18-year-old kid who's thinking about enlisting. Like, every person I could, who, you know, was wary of the show, I would try to cultivate a personal relationship with and try to show the show to them. And I promise you, it was crazy. To a T, every one of them said, wow, this show is not what's being promoted. Like, I'll give this thing a chance. And we kind of followed from there. Like, we just wanted to engage fans more than any other show had before. We wanted to write people directly. We wanted to say, we're as open as you can possibly be. And the nice thing about that is that kind of, and the passion on our end is merely coming from a place of, we just all love the show. Like, it's very weird for a show that's been officially canceled by a network that the cast and crew is still getting together, you know, 3 months later at my house, like they did last night, to kind of live tweet the show and make vines for people. But we just love it, and we want to do anything we can to keep it going. And since, you know, we're not going to get any kind of big promotion for it, the only thing we can do is kind of pump it up ourselves and hope the fans kind of do the same thing, where they're pumping it up to their friends. And it's kind of, the weird thing is, and again, I'm a negative Nancy, so this probably will not work, but it has borne out, like, number-wise. Like, you know, we're on a Sunday night now. Our final four episodes have been on Sundays. Like, no one really knows we're on except for this kind of very vocal group of fans. But the number of fans who've watched has been totally consistent, and it actually went up 200,000 people this past Sunday. That's with no promotion or anything. That was against the NBA Finals and against the World Cup, and yet 200,000 new people found the show. So it is working, and it just is. I think it's just good. It's fun to do.
And that was probably a little bit through social media, right, Kevin?
Yeah. And you know,
because you know your biggest fans, Army Wife Network, were out there like, go watch.
That's right. Well, guys, that's right. Like guys like you were just actually who I think we've earned your trust, and you promote the show, and I can't thank you enough. And that's it's just that I'm convinced now that. If you want people to, that the way to interact with fans of a show isn't through like a studio or isn't through some kind of big publicity machine. It's just to do it yourself. And I just it's
well,
maybe
and social media is such a huge tool. I mean, just across all industries, you know what I'm saying, for getting the word about a product out or a TV show or a movie. Social media has been a powerful tool for those industries.
It's really crazy, and I think the thing two people are finally realizing is they go, social media just means Twitter, or it just means Facebook. But and then you go, well, actually it means about 100 different things that you add together, and when you add them together, the number of people you see talking or discussing a certain thing at a certain moment is staggering. If you're taking Tumblr and TV Tag and GetGlue and Facebook and Twitter and all that together, like in the blogs, obviously, it's a massive amount of people, and if you can kind of instead of catering to kind of a nebulous audience, literally just kind of say, I want to speak to you people specifically. I don't know. I think it just creates a bunch more personal relationship with the fan base, and that's a lot more fulfilling, I think, from a creative standpoint, and hopefully from a fan standpoint.
I think what's interesting is that the show is canceled, but you've got companies like Charmin and Applebee's doing giveaways.
That's crazy. So what's the best way to promote a television show? By giving away a year of toilet paper.
I wish that I wasn't in Korea, that I was stateside so I could watch it live. But the next morning when I see all the tweets, it's like Charmin is ridiculous, okay? They try to like add the word poop or duty to like all of their tweets. It's hilarious. But like they're giving away
I've never seen anyone like They love poop puns. I think it's their favorite thing in the world, and it makes sense. They run a Twitter feed for a toilet paper company. But that was crazy. That was them. They're the nicest people in the world, and they approached us and said, "Hey, we really believe in the show, and we know that there's a real fan base there. Would you like to do something? Would you like us to help?" Basically, and we said, "Of course." And then they said, "What if we gave away free toilet paper?" And we said, "Okay, sure, let's do it." And it's just so odd. That to us is just, it's kind of cool. And I don't think, like, I don't think people know, but it's very much military specific. Like, the winners of the toilet paper, and they do two a week, it's always military families. So it's not just like.
Uh-oh, did we lose him?
Oh, did you lose, hello, can you hear me?
Nope, you're there.
Okay, I'll make sure my phone isn't dying. Okay. Yeah, we want to make sure it's going to the right place. But yeah, it's been crazy. And Applebee's joined in, and they were giving away gift certificates, and other places have actually joined in too. So it's been the neat thing has been a lot of these bigger Twitter feeds, whether it's Entertainment Weekly or VH1, like they've kind of caught on too. So now they're kind of promoting it. So I don't know. We'll see. Like if it doesn't pan out, and chances are of this show continuing, like I would never want to raise false hopes, but it's pretty slight that it would continue. But there is still hope, and if it panned out, boy, it would be great.
Don't say that. Never lose hope.
I know. But I never want people to think like, oh, of course it's going to continue. Like, but you know, But my attitude is like, I'm not going to give up fighting until it's time to give up, and it's not time to give up yet. This show means too much to me and to the people who do it, and frankly, with the response we've gotten from the fan base, we're not going to throw the towel, and we're going to keep fighting for it.
Well, now, and speaking of continuing. I was so glad that you just told our listeners what a big jump you guys had on Sunday. Personally, I did like you guys better on Friday nights because I never had anything on Friday night, so it was like my enlisted night. But with Sunday, I know you're up against a lot more competition on that evening. But I'm glad that you guys had a boost in your viewership. That makes me very happy, puts a smile on my face. So tell our listeners, because we want to have another big boost for Enlisted season finale. So maybe you can give our listeners a little bit of a teaser as to what they can expect from the season finale, which I will mention airs June 22nd at 7 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
on Fox. That's right, this Sunday. It's a huge episode. We wanted to. It's a big military ball. We managed to get one in there. So there's a big. It's a big military ball episode. It's probably one of the biggest ones that we did. And the nice thing is, it really kind of follows up on a lot of the storylines that you saw during the course of the year. Like, I'm not going to lie, there's some pretty heavy emotional stuff, but I promise you, it's not a sad, it's not a downer. It's all uplifting and great, and there's hope in it, but it's also super funny. And we pay homage to a few movies in it, and there's an officer and a gentleman gag in it that's probably one of the things I'm most proud of that I've ever been associated with, and I promise you, it's not what you think it's going to be.
Okay, I have to ask really quick, do we get to see Jeff Stoltz in dress uniform?
Yes, you absolutely do.
Oh, I am so there. So there.
You see, everybody is. That was one of those things where the military consultants were so happy because, like, the fact that when we got the two things that I think made them happiest was when we got the dress uniforms right, and then when we got the berets right, because it's such a hassle to get them right when they come out of the box, and you got to do the thing with the water, and you got to mold them, and they did that, and they're
welcome
like,
people
never noticed this. Well, it was great. I mean, I loved getting letters from military folks saying, you got the berets right. Like, the show wasn't very funny, but the berets were good. That's enough for me. I'll take that.
Because there's something to be said for that. Because if you walk on any Army post that's still wearing berets, because here in Korea they wear the patrol cap, like, so many people will have messed up berets. And, like, I'm not in the military, but I feel inclined to correct people that they're wearing it wrong. So, I mean, it makes a difference. I'm just saying. That's just me, because I'm hypercritical about that stuff.
Oh, I'm happy you noticed. Well, this is all credit goes to Greg Bishop at Musa Consultant, who was a Ranger, and his mission was to get, he got everything right in the berets especially. So the fact that we got that right made me very happy.
Well, you know, and I want to ask real quick, speaking of the actors, I know that the fans all have their favorites as far as when it comes to the three brothers and stuff. Maybe you can reflect a little bit on how this experience has been for them. Have they had fun, you know, working on the show and bringing this show to the military community and even to civilian fans?
I would never want to speak for them, but I do know that it's been especially meeting with the military community and getting to know them and feeling like they're kind of been embraced has been a huge, huge thing for all of them. Angelique, who plays Sergeant Cabral, who plays Sergeant Perez, like, she's said in interviews, like, been public about it, like, that doing this has been life-changing, especially, you know, some of the stuff that she did in that very mini boot camp that she went to. Like, just kind of opening her eyes and saying, okay, this is how a great number of people in this country live and what they have, and here's a tiny little slice of what they have to go through. And then really getting into it with the stories and trying to meet with these people and understand, you know, their struggles and their joys. And it's been something that's made all of us better, and it makes us want to keep doing them because there's just so many great stories to be told and so many wonderful perspectives that we can hopefully try to represent in the show. And I know that, you know, Jeff and Parker and Chris, in a weird way, like, these guys didn't know each other at all before the show started, and now they kind of do reflect that brother dynamic. Not kind of. They very much are that dynamic of three brothers in real life. You know, Parker still shows up at Jeff's house.
And I honestly think that comes across on – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, about Parker being naked?
No, I was just going to say that what you're talking about really comes across on the screen. Like, last week's episode, when they were doing the Ranger station, and Perez mm-hmm. was trying to get across the monkey bars. Well, I know they're not monkey bars, but that obstacle or whatnot. And I know the guys were, like, you know, both in love with her or whatnot. But the fact that scene right towards the end where they were – where they came together and they were encouraging her as she was trying to finish that obstacle. And I remember thinking right then that's really what it's like. Like, that when I served, that's what it was like for me and, you know, my brothers and sisters in that unit. Like, we were all like a family, and that's how we support one another and encourage each other and push us forward. You know what I'm saying? And I thought that was a great way. And you can, and that's why I'm saying it really comes across in the show. You can tell that they've gotten close and that they're portraying that sense of, you know, we're brothers and sisters in this.
Now, you gave me goosebumps. That's amazing to hear that made you think of that, and it felt that real to you. I mean, that's what we've been, you know, going for. Like, we don't really shy away from the emotional stuff. Like, the idea that these guys are brothers and sisters, that they got to be there for each other no matter what, no matter what petty, you know, little personal things are going on. Ultimately, there's something bigger going on, and it's not just about the individual. It's about the group, and that they have to be there for each other. I know we're a comedy, but to us at least, it's all going to be funnier and better if you actually care about these people and you get a sense that they care about each other. And they, you know, they might have fights and they might be stupid with each other, just like we all are. But at the end of the day, you know, them putting each other's hands on each other's heads, like basically saying "I love you," like that is what the show is about to us. And if people can invest in that emotion, then I think all the funny stuff is going to be, you know, even funnier. So, you know, it's fart jokes and heart. That's what the show is.
Awesome.
So, Kevin, how can fans get the word out about the show?
I think the best way to do it is just what they've been doing. You know, the finale, like you said, is this Sunday, June 22nd at 6 p.m. Just, you know, any Facebook posts, any tweets, any Tumblr posts, any way to just tell people or tell your friends, hey, this show's going to be on, and give it a chance is kind of the name of the game. And people have been doing it to such a great extent. I keep joking that if there's any Nielsen families watching, I will, and they watch Enlisted, I'll totally buy a mistake dinner. And I'm only half joking. Like, I totally will. Like, just contact me and I'll buy you a steak dinner. But it's just get the word out and be as vocal as you feel comfortable being. I'd never want to make anyone feel awkward, but you know, it's just this support is what's kept this show alive so far. So all I can do is say thank you and be so eternally thankful for everyone, especially in the military community, who's embraced us.
Well, we are happy to support you. You know, Army Wife Network is your biggest fan of the show. We challenge our listeners, go out there, spread the word about Enlisted, June 22nd at 7 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And I'm just going to put it out into the universe, Kevin. If you would like to tell Jeff Stoltz to contact Army Wife Network, we'd love to have him on. Love to talk to him.
I will tell him that. The one thing I forgot is that if I talk to him tomorrow, I'm going to tell him that. If the best way to watch, this sounds silly, but the best way to watch if you don't have a Nielsen box is to watch on Hulu, because it's like a whole thing. If, you know, numbers, they can count the numbers of viewers, and Hulu can actually count how many people watch the show as opposed to like kind of a random metric from Nielsen. But that said, I will talk to Jeff and see if he will come on the show and video chat with you so he can be shirtless while he does it.
Oh, that would be heaven. But we are out of time really quick. I do want to tell fans to also go to Fox or Enlisted on Fox. That's their Facebook handle. You can like their Facebook. I know they're using that as a metric, too, to help us save Enlisted.
Oh, yeah, like
because
the Facebook page. That's a great one.
Yeah, we definitely want to see the show come back, and we're not giving up hope. So thank you so much, Kevin, for being with us.
Thank you guys
for having me on.
All right, guys, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Congratulations to our winners in the Twitter party chat. Next week, June 23rd, 2014, on the show we are featuring Jason Strickland of Project Sanctuary, so you won't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com, any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or catch up with one of our many bloggers sharing their journey at lovingasoldier.com.
And that's Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Emily, I had so much fun with you tonight.
I love you.
This is your Army Wife Network core team signing out. Have a great week, everyone.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.